This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Yeah, she's got her own welcome music, but what's your favorite James Bond song? That's the question. She better have a good answer for us, that's for sure. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Big 5 o'clock hour for you. Some breaking news on actor Gene Hackman's death we're going to get to as well in just a moment. But our guest is the former vice president, former deputy national security advisor for President Donald Trump. She is the vice president of the Davis Institute for Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. She is the author of the book Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win. She is Philadelphia's own Dr. Victoria Coates. Hello, Dr. Coates. How are you, my friend?
Well, you had me worried there for a minute that I might have been fired, but I think I'm still employed. I'll call Kevin and confirm. And just in advance, I apologize for the train hit. I know that there's background noise, but plans changed at the last minute.
It is a little staticky. You're not on the train with any purple-haired lunatics today, are you?
No, I was on the train with a lunatic yesterday.
Yes, and thank you for sharing that picture with me. That made me very, very happy, by the way. That made my day. So do you want to tell everybody who it was? Or?
Well, if it's my policy not to share pictures publicly if the person hasn't agreed to take them. So I would just say it is a congressperson with purple hair, and you had shared a picture of her earlier in the day.
Yes.
So I think that's a list of one.
And I shared that picture and I said, this is the face of the Democrat Party. Completely.
Exactly.
What's your favorite James Bond song before we get started?
Probably The Spy Who Loved Me.
Matt, let's cue up The Spy Who Loved Me for Dr. Victoria Coates. Also, I got to just say, Sheena Easton, For Your Eyes Only, might be one of my favorites, too.
We had gone to Greece the summer that movie came out and had been on Corfu. So that one is also a special one for me.
Which one? You broke up on that one. Which one?
Oh, sorry. No, the Sheena Easton song.
Oh, yeah.
Because that year we had been in Corfu that summer as a child, very small child. And so that movie I liked a lot, too.
Yeah, that was Roger Moore's James Bond, if I'm not mistaken, right? And For Your Eyes Only?
It was.
Yeah. And I liked him as Bond. He just got a little goofy, you know, Moonraker. Some got a little goofy, but...
got a little old. We all do.
Yeah. Yeah. They're gonna restart the franchise, and they're going to keep James Bond to be James Bond, which I think if Trump had lost the election, it would have gone with a woke James Bond. It probably would have wound up being, like you know, Jennifer Bond or something. But yeah. It would have been James who transitioned into Jennifer, and it would have just been a nightmare. So thankfully, it's still going to be James Bond, which I like, and the character's going to remain the same. DeSantis, play it for me. What do we got?
All right, so here's some For Your Eyes Only, since we haven't played that one yet, and
right,
Dr. Coach just referenced it.
Here we go. See, I mean, this is... Like, I'm getting chills right now. The orchestra, right? The way she comes in here. Fantastic. And then it just builds, you know, crescendos, right? By the way, Dr. Coates, did you see the White House fix the Democrat fighter video? Did you have a chance to see that yet? Dr. Coates, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Did you see that the White House had a chance to fix the choose your fighter video?
Yes, the fighters who were actually chosen by the president, who was chosen by the American people.
Yeah, I really like that because so if people don't know what we're talking about, the Democrats had put a video, Choose Your Fighter, and they had various Democrat politicians, AOC and others, and they had their little characteristics. And I think they were trying to do like a street fight vibe, if I'm not mistaken, like the game Street Fighter. And it was stupid and it got mocked wildly. Yeah. And then the White House fixed it by saying these are the actual fighters who've been chosen, and they put pictures of President Trump and J.D. Vance and Pete Hegseth and the others. I thought that was really well done. But we're at a very, I'd say, interesting time when you've got Democrats refusing to clap for peace during the president's joint address to Congress as he talks about peace with Russia and Ukraine. And they refuse to clap. Isn't that something?
Start with the fact that they won't clap for children who are recovering from cancer. I mean, that's the most reprehensible thing. But then not only not to clap for peace, but to clap for extending the war for another 5 years, because the president said, you know, do you want this to go on for another 5 years? And they applauded. They want the death to go on. That's where they are. It's like they're picking the 20% position on every single issue and running on it. I mean, which is great from my perspective going into the midterms, but wow. I mean, it's impressive across the board.
I want to play a clip for you. This is Secretary Pete Hegseth talking about what the president is interested in right now. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth for Dr. Coates' reaction, cut number 8.
The press is interested in narratives. Our president is interested in peace. So we will get characterized one way or another. Oh, your stance is pro-Russia or it's all garbage. The president got elected to bring peace in this conflict, and he is working with both sides in a way that only President Trump can. Let's be clear. Only President Trump can, to bring them to the table to end the killing. And I can tell you from being behind the scenes, he is laser focused on making that happen. And we're closer today than we've ever been because of his leadership.
Now, today from the Oval Office, he obviously announced that he's thinking about sanctions on Russia and also cutting out the satellite, so the Starlink satellite for Ukraine. So explain for us, Dr. Victoria Coates, what that would mean for Ukraine and why the president would want to do that.
Well, I think what you're seeing is a series of carrots and sticks for both Ukraine and Russia. And that's what's new here. Up until now, the Biden administration was all very harsh rhetoric toward Putin, very warm rhetoric toward Ukraine, but their actions were sort of wishy-washy. I think what the president's doing is saying, I will act. I will inflict penalties on both of you, because he also announced he was thinking very seriously about some financial sector sanctions on Russia that would be a big problem, not only for Russia, but also for China. So this is a signal Biden was never willing to send, but Trump is. So, you know, some days he's saying nice things about them. Sometimes he's saying more punitive things. But the key is to get everybody to the table. Putin was talking today about a resolution for the first time. It's a big shift from him, from where he was in December. Zelensky has started to lay out some terms that would be acceptable to him. This is progress over the course of the last week. And so I think the president knows what he's doing, and we should let him do it, because he's the only one who's made progress over the course of 3 years.
Yeah. Talk to me about Iran here. The president also said today that Iran needs to make a nuclear deal to avoid a military solution. He's not looking to hurt Iran. Help us understand what the president means when he told this to Maria Bartiromo, cut number 10.
There are reports now that Russia says it will help the United States negotiate a nuclear deal with Iran. What kind of a deal with Iran do you want to do? You said they cannot have a nuclear weapon.
Yeah. Well, there are two ways Iran can be handled, militarily or you make a deal. I would prefer to make a deal because I'm not looking to hurt Iran. They're great people. I know so many Iranians from this country.
Well, not the leadership.
No, not the leadership.
The people.
They're very evil people. No, but the people of Iran are great people. But they had a tough regime, and they'd meet and they'd be shot in the streets. I mean, it was a tough deal. But I would rather negotiate a deal. I'm not sure that everybody agrees with me, but we can make a deal that would be just as good as if you won militarily. But the time is happening now. The time is coming up. Something's going to happen one way or the other. I hope that Iran, and I've written him a letter saying, I hope you're going to negotiate, because if we have to go in militarily, it's going to be a terrible thing for them.
You wrote a letter to the Khomeini?
Yes.
When did you send the letter?
Yesterday.
And you said you better negotiate, or we want you to negotiate.
I didn't say you better. I said, I hope you're going to negotiate, because it's going to be a lot better for Iran. And I think they want to get that letter. The other alternative is we have to do something, because you can't let them have a nuclear weapon.
All right, Dr. Coates, as the author of the book Battle for the Jewish State, as somebody who was in the Situation Room with President Trump as the Deputy National Security Advisor, what are your thoughts on what we can achieve here with Iran?
Yeah, no, this is the president saying, you know, we're getting to the 11th hour, and this has always been a concern. We've talked about it, Rich, the progress the Iranians have made on their nuclear pile during the Biden administration is terrifying. The president is signaling that we're almost out of time, and saying to Iran, there is still a path for you. I will talk to you. There can be a diplomatic deal, but that everything is on the table, as it always is with him. And Iran is also seeing how close he is to, you know, the Israelis at this point, who would be at logically carrying out any strike that would happen, and saying, you know, you have an option, but the clock's ticking. So I think sending this letter, and it was great of Maria to break that news, you know, that is their invitation to an alternative. So the president's not saying, like, the neocons are, you know, a race toward war. I'm going to give you another option. But I think one of the things he said today that I thought was very telling is, no one's talking about this now, but you're all going to be talking about it. So it means they feel like, you know, we are at, as I said, the 11th hour on Iran, and something is going to have to be done, because he said repeatedly they will not get a nuclear weapon on his watch.
Well, I have no doubts that you are on your way to do something very, very important on the train. You're coming back from D.C. or going to D.C.?
I'm actually going to New York to go wedding dress shopping.
Oh, me too. I love...
Are you going
that's
wedding
awkward.
Dress shopping?
I didn't mean to say that out loud. good for you. Not your own wedding, obviously. You're still happy. You're happily married to a great guy. Whose wedding?
For our daughter.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yep. And are you guys going to do this together, mom and daughter together?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think she would let me take it out. I will abide by her wishes.
Wasn't there something about somebody's wedding dress that was found at a thrift shop the other day or something like that, that went for like $15 or something? Did you hear that story?
A celebrity wedding dress that was found.
Yes. Yeah, and it was like at a thrift shop for like $15 or something.
Well, I asked her if maybe we could stop by, but, you know, and no, I got it. That we were not going to be doing the thrift shop wedding dress.
Well, you never know what kind of gems you're going to find there. Well, have a great weekend, my friend. We'll get you back next week when you're not on the train so we can dive into more of these issues. In the meantime, they'll get the book, Battle for the Jewish State, How Israel and America Can Win, and follow Dr. Victoria Coates on X, where she posts amazing things, including whether or not she's sitting with crazy people on trains. Have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. On the Rich Zeoli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center, grandhotelcapemay.com.
And it is my happy place, the Grand Hotel of the Grand Hotel of Cape May. And you should definitely make your Easter spring break plans today by going to grandhotelcapemay.com, grandhotelcapemay.com, and do it today. And the dress was the, in case you didn't hear that, it was from the Sex and the City. It was Carrie's wedding dress from Sex and the City. It's a dress that's worth thousands of dollars. It's a Vera Wang gown, and it was found at a thrift shop for $19. And a woman stumbled upon this. Ashley Cano was perusing her local thrift store when she came across this wedding dress, and it was going for $19, but it was the dress from the Sex and the City show. And Vera Wang. So there you go. Sometimes you find these things at thrift shops. That's why they make those shows about thrift shops and pawn shops and everything else. So, all right. There's breaking news on actor Gene Hackman's death. It turns out that the police have just had a press conference a short time ago, and they announced some details into this. We have the audio for you of the police, and here's what they said. Take a listen.
This investigation started on February 26th with the discovery of Mr. Hackman and Ms. Arakawa and their dog at the residence. I just want to do a short recap and then touch on some new information. As we know, both individuals tested negative for carbon monoxide. City Fire conducted tests and deemed scene safe for deputies to conduct their investigation. The preliminary pacemaker interrogation results were released last week, and I'll let Dr. Jarrell touch more specifically on those results. The gas company New Mexico, they also did an analysis of the residence, and they found one minor leak in a single burner on the kitchen stove, which was 0.33% of room air, which was pretty minute and insignificant. Since that time, Xena, the deceased dog, has been taken for necropsy at the veterinary diagnostic services, and we'll be awaiting those results. Let's speak a little bit in reference to the timeline for Betsy Arakawa. We know from our investigation that on February 9th, 2025, she picked up Xena from Gruta Veterinary Hospital. There was a procedure that was done with the dog, which may explain why the dog was in a crate at the residence. Let's move on to February 11th, 2025. Mrs. Arakawa had an email conversation with her massage therapist at about 11:21 a.m. Moving on into the afternoon, Ms. Arakawa was at the Sprouts Farmer's Market between 3:30 and 4:15 p.m.
You know, let me jump in here because this guy is boring the hell out of me. So actor Gene Hackman died of heart disease and his wife died of hantavirus about a week earlier. That's basically the headline here. And he died of heart disease days after his wife died of this. And so a very sad situation. But that's now they have the cause of death of Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman's cause of death was heart disease. Wife died of the hantavirus days earlier, according to New Mexico officials, like that guy you just heard in the press conference. Gene Hackman also had Alzheimer's disease as a contributing factor. And also, too, his wife died several days before him of hantavirus pulmonary syndrome, according to the chief medical investigator. And how did Gene Hackman die? They were found dead in their home. He likely died around February 18th when the last activity was detected on his pacemaker. An autopsy determined that Hackman died of heart disease and also suffered from advanced Alzheimer's disease as well. The wife likely died first, with February 11th being the last time she was known to be alive. The hantavirus strain in the Southwest has a mortality rate of about 38 to 50%. Hantavirus can be contracted from exposure to excrement from a particular mouse species that carries the virus. The various strains in the U.S. aren't transmissible from person to person. The hantavirus infection is characterized by flu-like symptoms, shortness of breath, blah, 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 blah. The illness is very rare, however. The sheriff, Adam Mendoza, who you just heard in that clip right there just a short time ago, basically saying that the sheriff's office found medication for blood pressure and thyroid issues. So that's what happened with actor Gene Hackman. It really is a damn shame. I mean, he was a very talented guy. He was in his 90s. Obviously, they ruled out carbon monoxide, and his death was heart disease. Wife died of this hantavirus days earlier. And that's the breaking news that came out a short time ago during the 5 o'clock hour. So that's why you never want to miss a moment of this program, because we have breaking news all the time for you on this show. And in addition to breaking news all the time, we also do nonsense like What's Your Favorite Bond Song and the Rainbow Connection with Kermit the Frog and also Francis Collins, which if we could put that up on the screen one more time, because now I'm depressed about Gene Hackman. So I want to hear some more of this. So we have a couple of clips. Let's just do this. We have a couple clips of Democrats acting like complete idiots here. Well, Matt, what's the other clip? I don't have the show sheet right in front of me at the moment of Democrat protest songs on Capitol Hill today.
So it's nobody notable. It's just a bunch of weirdos that showed up to this protest and decided they were going to start singing like our former NIH director, Francis Collins. But this is cut 20. I think Kirk has it. If not, I can play the audio from here. This is maybe worse than Francis Collins, actually, and his singing's pretty bad.
All right, so the left is getting so insane right now that they're singing more corny songs. They're putting out dumb fight memes on TikTok. They're having a really, really tough week here. A bad week for them.
It's worth noting that if you look closely in the background of this video, you'll see that people are holding up signs that say, MAHA kills.
MAHA as in Make America Healthy Again kills. Fair yes. enough. Cut number 20.
Sing along with us. Display the light of
mine. Oh, yes.
Display the light.
Yes. Aren't you? Now, don't you wish I was playing Bond songs now, huh? Yeah, you do.
Somebody's got a bubble blower going.
Somebody's going to bubble blow their brains out if they have to keep listening to this.
Science lights the way.
Except biology. We don't believe in that one. Science lights the way. That's funny. I thought it was light that lights the way. That's kind of funny. Now, don't you wish we were playing more Bond songs? That's your punishment for complaining on the YouTube chat. You see? You know, it's like when that one kid in class messes up and then the substitute teacher turns off the movie and makes everyone take a test. All right, so you can thank Manglemush. All right, this is your fault, Manglemush. Everybody in the YouTube chat should blame you for this. All right, you complained and now you got to listen to that. Okay, that's what you... I'm just kidding, don't worry. I'm only feisty because it's Friday and I'm working. God. Hey, all right, if that wasn't cringe enough for you, how about this? Democrats on the floor of the House, after they voted to censure the lesser Al Green for interrupting President Trump's address by yelling at his cane like a crazy person, the Democrats then also gathered together to sing on the floor of the House of Representatives. So let's ratchet up the cringe, shall we? And make you wish we were playing Bond songs again. Cut 18.
To answering present. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, a motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The House will come to order. The House will come to order. Shh. Will Representative Green present himself to the well? By its adoption of House Resolution 189, the House has resolved that Representative Al Green be censured, that Representative Al Green forthwith present himself in the well of the House of Representatives for the pronouncement of censure. and that Representative Al Green be censured with public reading of this resolution by the Speaker.
I'm wearing green in honor of Al Green. I'm standing in solidarity with him. Listen to these nuts. Listen to these nutbags.
The House had come to order. The House had come to order.
No, let him keep doing it. Yes. Yes, let him keep doing it.
The House to come to order. Clear the well, please. Clear the well.
Mr. Speaker, let him keep doing it. Let him keep going. Okay, now, let's go back to, if we could. This is Francis Collins. Do we have Singing Over the Pandemic, Matt? Can we play that for everybody?
Do you have that one? I do have that, yeah, here. This is his best work as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, again, blame Mangelmush. You can thank Mangelmush for this, for complaining about the Bond songs, okay? This is what you get, all right? So, thank you, brother kids, all right? We're going to stop and get snacks at Wawa, but now we're going to keep going. Don't make me turn this car around. That's what it feels like right now. I'm the captain now. I mean, I guess I technically have been the captain since 3 o'clock, but nevertheless, it finally just occurred to me. Holy cow. You mean I'm in charge here? Wow. All right, here's Francis Collins singing Somewhere Over the Pandemic. Go ahead. That's what I need right now. Hey, Kimmy, I hope you had a great birthday yesterday. You're a Pisces like me. I never say when my birthday is, but some people have asked if it's Monday. I can neither confirm nor deny. I will tell you this, though. On March 10th, I will be on America's Newsroom with Dana Friedel and Bill Hemmer. And if it were my birthday, that'd be a great way to spend it. That's all I'm saying. I'm certainly not saying my age. That's for damn sure. Because I keep track of that stuff in show business. But I think I'm all right. So here. OK, so now put back on the screen Francis Collins and Kermit the Frog. And then you can see the side by side comparison. Together by this noble. Here we go. Go ahead. Whoever this annoying tea person is on the chat, we're trying to have some fun here. So if you want to play along and have fun, fine. Otherwise, I'm going to kick you out of the chat, loser. All right. I have no time for your patience. I'm yelling at my own people. I'm certainly not going to tolerate you. I'm yelling at my own loyal audience today. You think I have time for your nonsense? I'll block your ass on that chat. I'll throw you out faster than they threw out Al Green if you keep this up. Seriously, I'm in no mood today, as you can tell. No mood. Got it? Seriously, if I yell at the Zioli army, I'm certainly going to yell at you. So knock it off with your little nonsense here going after my audience. Only I can go after my audience. It's like that scene in Animal House and it's like, hey, they can't do that to our pledges. Yeah, only we can do that to our pledges. Exactly right. You can't go after my audience. Only I can go after my audience. All right? Very good. Thank you. Look at this. Beautiful. With Kermit the Frog and Francis Collins next to each other. Now, we have to make this go viral. I don't care if I have to spend money to make it go viral. This has to go viral. This is a beautiful comparison here. And I need to do it before somebody on Fox News steals it and uses it on their show and acts like it's their own. Okay? Who's not named Jimmy Fallon? Because Fallon doesn't do that. But other people do. And I'm not naming names. That's for sure. Cause, you know, I'm just saying. You figure out. Well, it could be. I just told him, her, they, them. You're right. You're welcome. I did. Free speech must mean no blocking. Mangelmush, don't start. I'll turn this car around. Don't make me. Seriously, I'm going to reach back here. I feel like the dad now. I'm going to turn around and just start, you know, just start hitting with the, you know, like your dad used to do that. Is it smacking you? Fine. We won't block him. We'll just mute him. All right. 8-5. Ben, free speech is a government thing. I'm not the government. I can block whoever I want. I can block whoever I want. The government can't block people. I can block whoever the hell. This isn't a democracy here.
Have you looked at the YouTube chats? I like that people are starting to turn on Mangle Mush.
Yeah, that's great. Rogers could actually come back right now because we're all picking up Mangle Mush so much that Roger may feel like he can come back at this point.
I miss Roger. I wish he would come back.
Oh, he's still here. Don't worry. He's just identifying as somebody else. He never leaves. Mangelmush, thanks for having a good sense of humor in all seriousness. Good for you. Good for you for taking the ribbing like a man. Remember, we tease because we love on this show. We only ever do that because we love. That's how we operate. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't talk to you. Right, Justin?
Yeah.
Right, Kirk? I know to talk to the people I don't like.
You excluded somebody. I couldn't help but notice that there are three producers.
Well, the static is terrible, Justin, on the show. Can you hear that again? Is that Dr. Coates
crazy.
On the train? Is it crazy? Is that what that is again?
I'll have to look
is that
into
more
that.
Of that? We really got to fix
hurtful.
That connection. I'm
very
telling you,
hurtful.
We really got to fix that connection. It's getting to me. All right, here's the deal. As we continue along the show here today, Dr. Mike Veneria is going to give you the beautiful smile of your dreams. You got to go see him. Listen, we have so much to smile about and be happy about. And really, you got to laugh because life is too short. Life is too long sometimes, too. And life will make you go crazy. Democrats will make you go crazy, too, with all their videos. So have a great smile and go see my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com. He's a great guy. He's a great friend. And he is the master of dental implants, the master of making you look and feel your best. And I love the fact that Mama Zioli discovered him for me and my family. But for over 10 years, other dentists have been recommending that their patients go see Dr. Mike Veneria for the great smile that he gives everybody. So what are you waiting for? He's minutes over the bridge, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Get a free implant consultation. Implants are very complicated stuff, but whatever the complicated dentistry is, Dr. Mike will give you that beautiful smile you deserve. And listen, like I said, life's too short to not have the beautiful smile because you're going to take all these pictures and you want to feel confident about yourself. So go see him today. My whole family goes to him, so you know he can be trusted because when it comes to the Zioli kids, we always make sure they go see the best. That's for damn sure. And Mama Zioli and Papa Zioli are both thrilled with the complicated dental work that Dr. Mike has done for them. VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Zioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, so if you are just joining us today, it's been an action-packed show. It's also been a show full of absolute nonsense. And thanks for all the YouTube chat. I just wanted to mention, too, you know, we have fun with this chat. Also, Twitter as well. Johnny Cook on Twitter had a great point about why are we honoring America's birthday with soccer? And it's pretty funny, actually, considering it's not our sport. But there's some great tweets as well. Karen Thomas said, Rich, hashtag Zioli Army. I think it's safe to say that Donald Trump has broken the Democrat Party. They have truly lost their minds. Yeah, exactly. Well said. No doubt about that. And we've also had some other people weighing in on their favorite Bond songs today. So it's been an action-packed show, jam-packed, and I appreciate it very, very much. So thank you for all of the comments, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is, too. So Mike Ferran says, hey, Rich, while I'm working, you keep me entertained and informed at the same time. Thank you. Although he did also accuse me of sometimes droning on a little too long. So, Mike, thank you very much as well. I appreciate that. And the greater Chris says, Matt, if Rich picks up an axe, relay a 911 call to his house. Injury is inevitable. That's true. No, I actually may pick up an axe at some point to chop to split firewood, but I probably won't do that anytime soon because, yeah, that's not. I'll be back in the hospital for sure. No doubt about that. But I do feel like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. So, yeah. But it's been quite a show. And we've had some breaking news on the show today, too, about Gene Hackman's death. So it was a heart attack, heart disease, Alzheimer's, and his wife died of the Hunta virus. And that just came out today. So now at least we know the cause of Gene Hackman's death. And there you go with that. The president today announcing he's going to have a crypto, basically like a crypto reserve, a digital crypto reserve, a Bitcoin reserve that'll be digital, kind of like we have a Fort Knox, but with gold, but with crypto. And that it will be, which I don't approve of at all, obtained through civil asset forfeiture and criminal asset forfeiture, which I do approve of. Nothing wrong with criminal asset forfeiture. He didn't tweet that out. The secretary of his crypto czar tweeted that out. But I hope, obviously, that civil asset forfeiture is ruled unconstitutional at some point very, very soon. And then the other thing, too, was the jobs report that came out today. I'll get into that a little bit more in the next hour, because I do want to share some data with that on you and some theories I have on that with regards to where the jobs stand and the job report stands and all of that, too. But the I'd be remiss if I didn't play a clip from the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. So let's play this visual of the female Democrats with the Choose Your Fighter promo. You probably have seen it by now, but I do think that it's worth seeing again if you haven't. It's primarily visual. I'll describe it for you as we play it on the screen today. The only one worth looking at here in this entire thing is AOC, quite frankly, or Suli Jessica Wu. But they, if you remember the game Street Fighter, which we played as kids, which they still play. My son has it, actually, I think on his Xbox. You choose your fighter, you know, and you go through the whole thing and you got to pick who you want to fight. Or maybe it was Mortal Kombat. Maybe it was Mortal Kombat I'm thinking of. It's kind of the same thing. So they would put up all these different fighters and you got to pick, you know. So the Democrats made a video out of this and it's so stupid. It's so dumb. And here, take a watch of this, and I'll kind of narrate it a little bit as we play it here on the YouTube chat. So they show a fighter, and they put their characteristics of it, just like in the game Mortal Kombat. You know, you can move through, you could pick AOC, or you could pick so-and-so, and they put their characteristics up. It's goofy. It is what it is. It's goofy. The White House today put out their own video fixing it for them by putting actual warriors up there. But the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, was asked about this today when he was on Outnumbered on Fox News. And his encouragement to them is keep it up. Cut number 26.
We sit down and have authentic, real conversations. We don't do dance videos. It's ridiculous. I mean, that is so cringeworthy. You know, to Democrats, most Democrats now, politics is a performance art. You know, it's like performative art. But if that's the performance, please continue to do that. Because as the leading campaigner for the House Republicans, I'd like to see a lot more of that from them. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I would too, actually. I think it's pretty funny. Keep it up. I mean, keep everything you're doing, Democrats, keep doing. Just don't stop doing it. Keep at it. Keep playing keep having your protest songs. Keep doing all of it, all right? Just don't stop. Just you be you, all right? Keep being you. Keep coming at us with canes, and then keep coming up with nonsense like Hank Johnson, who now is suggesting that Trump is actually trying to bring back slavery. And black people picking cotton. I keep thinking about this is the same group that won't stand for a kid with cancer, but they'll accuse the president now of wanting to bring back slavery. This, of course, is Hank Johnson, who at some point thought Guam was going to capsize and would not say the M word, midget. Oh, oops, I did it again. God, Hank Johnson, thank you for being the gift that keeps on giving. Cut 16.
All of the ways in which they can kill public education, from defunding it from a federal level and then also enabling state monies and local monies to flow into the private for-profit school setup that is ongoing. It's a recipe to make education unavailable to black people. And where does that then leave us? It puts us back to when America was great and we were picking cotton and all of it, we're doing the productivity that they are putting my Latino brothers and sisters who migrate here to do that work, because we are not suited intellectually to do it anymore. But they would have us
Stop. Did he just say, can we analyze this for a second? If I'm understanding this idiot correctly, he just said that We black people are not intellectually suited to do that work anymore, but Latinos are. Did I just hear him say that? Matt, did you hear him say that? I think I just heard him say that.
I feel like we have to play that back because that can't be what he said, right? I mean, he's not that stupid.
That black people are no longer intellectually suited to pick cotton, so that's why we have to have our Latino brothers do it. Which might be the most racist thing I've ever heard in my life. And also, it suggests at some point that black people were intellectually capable of picking cotton, but I don't understand, like, the evolution. Now, that's like, slavery ended. I don't believe it was never an issue of intellect, picking cotton. It was slave. Okay, you know what? Let's hear it again. Go ahead, play it again.
Productivity that they're putting my Latino brothers and sisters who migrate here to do that work because we are not suited intellectually to do it anymore.
Okay. So we being black people are not suited intellectually to do that anymore, to pick cotton. So that's why Latinos are coming to America to pick cotton. Am I hearing that correctly? Does that sound racist, or am I just cabin fever is hitting me again? Because that sounds kind of racist to me.
No, that definitely sounds very racist. He's a gaffe machine, and that might be one of his worst.
Like, he's literally just said, like, look, like, we black people are over this whole picking cotton thing. So now we need all the Latinos to come here and do it because we're above that. You idiots need to come here and do it now. I mean, that's kind of a translation of what he's saying, if I'm not mistaken. Is there more to that or does it end right there?
There's more to it.
All right. So here, back it up. Let's start over from the beginning. I'll try to not interrupt this. Go ahead.
All of the ways in which they can kill public education, from defunding it from a federal level and then also enabling state monies and local monies to flow into the private for-profit school setup that is ongoing. It's a recipe to make education unavailable to black people. And where does that then leave us? It puts us back to when America was great and we were picking cotton and all of it. We're doing the productivity that they're putting my Latino brothers and sisters who migrate here to do that work because we are not suited intellectually to do it anymore. But they would have us back confined to doing that kind of work. So we got to watch out for where we are headed. And it's the people that will save our democracy.
So I believe what Hank Johnson is suggesting here is we need to keep illegal immigration going so that black people don't have to pick cotton again. I mean, this might be the dumbest thing he's ever said in the history of dumb things. This might be more offensive than the M word, midget. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Was that? Oh my God! Wow. So it's amazing this doesn't get more attention. You see, it probably will by Monday, but maybe not. I don't know. But that's pretty. We are no longer suited intellectually to do this. So you Latino idiots, you go pick all that stuff. Like, we're over it. You go pick all that stuff, you morons. But, I mean, that's a completely racist thing to say. First of all, nobody's suggesting that black people should be picking cotton. But if cotton has to be picked and it's a job, I don't understand. It's like cotton T-shirts and other things. If people were physically picking cotton in the United States of America, which is largely done by machinery nowadays, is Hank Johnson suggesting? I don't even try to understand what this man's thinking. I really can't. To do so, I'd have to take brain cells out of my head, I guess. Matt, help me out here. What am I missing about this idiot in what he's saying here? What am I getting wrong here?
I think you're spending too much time trying to analyze it. This is the same guy who complained that there wasn't helium equity in America. He complained that the Tooth Fairy was woke in the eyes of conservatives. He said Guam was going to capsize if there were too many people on it. He's just not a smart guy. And I agree with you. What he said is pretty abhorrent.
It's pretty abhorrent, and it's not even worth trying to analyze because it's just so freaking stupid, too. That's the other thing. And let me apologize to all the M-words out there that might be listening. Morons. Let me apologize to them. Okay. All right, listen, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up, including I got to get into the economy, the economic jobs report today, what Hank Johnson said, and it's really important stuff too. Not Hank Johnson, excuse me, what Kevin Hassett said. We'll do that. So don't go away. Fourth and final hour on a Friday. Stay right there.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the Free Odyssey app.